Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, just say your name and your title.
My name's David Muse. I'm the Artistic Director at Studio Theater.
And we are talking because you have a really, really exciting big renovation coming up. And I know you're going to, it's like a grand opening on Tuesday, February 22nd at 6 p.m. Tell us what's going to, the big cool thing with the lighting up a new sign. Like, what are we going to see if our listeners show up and see this big light up sign?
Yeah, it's sort of the first step into a lot of work we're doing on the outside of the building to just make a bigger splash, frankly, on the corner of 14th and P. And right now it's a little hard to tell even where the front entrance to the building is or that it's even there's even a theater there. And so one thing we're doing is adding just some dynamic new signing to the signage to the outside of the building. And we light it up for the first time on Tuesday night.
Great. And now how do you have any particulars on how tall, wide, all that stuff the sign's going to be?
It's big. I don't know the dimensions. I know one of the bits of signage weighs about 350 pounds. And the other one we've taken to calling the Hollywood sign because it's sort of scaled, you know, to that size, the one that's directly above our entrance.
So there's two signs. So wait, what is it going to be? One's there, above the entrance and where's the other one?
One's above the entrance and one is on the corner of 14th and P. And it's designed, we call it the Toblerone. It has three sides to it. And so it's designed so that you can see it from 14th Street or from P Street, from across the street, from, you know, catty corner. It's designed to be seen from all directions.
Sure. Awesome. Well, thanks for letting us know. And I actually have some of the details here. It's in this email. It says it's going to be a 6 foot tall exterior name sign that spans 35 feet and 17 foot tall blade sign. So what's a blade sign? What is that?
The blade sign is the same thing I just called the Toblerone.
Oh, the Toblerone. Okay, cool. All right, cool. Well, yeah, so like you said, this is going to be a part of a giant, renovations that are going to happen. Take me into some of it. It's like a $20 million renovation happening?
Yeah, it's about a $20 million renovation. And there are several components. We talk about it in sort of three main buckets. The first one has to do with artistic innovation and the central project of that involves the transformation of one of our theater spaces. We currently have three fixed seat thrust venues in the building, and we're taking one of those formerly fixed seat venues and turning it into basically a raw, empty, open room that's totally configurable for whatever we're doing in there. So that's kind of the artistic centerpiece of the thing. And then there's a series of things we're doing in a kind of community engagement bucket. And that has to do with opening the building up and making it, you know, more obvious from the outside of the building what goes on the inside of the building. And the sign lighting that we have on Tuesday is just one part of a whole bunch of things we're doing on that front. There's also a new cafe space. We're partnering with Rayco Coffee, who's a local coffee roastery, to run a kind of bar and cafe all day long and into the night, whether or not we have shows going on at studio. We've refreshed all our lobbies, modernized the inside of the building. And then there's some things that are a little harder to see, but are very important to us. And that third bucket we call operational efficiency. That's, for example, a new HVAC system throughout the building, a new rehearsal room. We haven't had a dedicated rehearsal room in the 35 years the studio's been in that building, refreshed backstage space, things like that, to just help us run a little more efficiently.
Nice. Well, I mean, now you said that, it sounds like a bunch of really cool renovations, and you just mentioned it's been in that building for 35 years. So again, yeah, back up a little bit and give me a sense of the history of Studio Theater. When was it actually founded and you know, how has it evolved?
Yeah, Studio Theater was founded something like 42 years ago. At that time, it wasn't in the building it is now. It was an outgrowth of an acting conservatory started by a woman named Joyce Inman, who was the artistic director of the theater for the first 30-something years of its history. And then the studio sort of got a toehold in the complex we have currently, and just gradually expanded. So first it was one floor of one building, there was one theater and a lobby. And then it gradually grew up to take over that one building, adding a second theater, adding some administrative offices and some classrooms. And then it took over the two adjoining buildings. So it became actually a three building complex on the corner of 14th and P, added two more theaters, added public space, upgraded office space. And that happened in a kind of series of expansions that began in the 80s. And the last major one was something like 12 years ago. Maybe even more actually, I think about 15 years ago was the last like significant upgrade. And so it was time to have another refresh.
Yeah, so other than it just being, it's time. I mean, what else sort of like spawned it? Was this like a, hey, the pandemic's here, we've had a little time off, let's use this time to invest, or, you know what I mean? Like what was sort of the significance of this exact timing?
Yeah, it's been in the works for, I don't even know how many years, I'd say, in terms of like thinking about it and planning it and sort of getting all the pieces in place. I'd say, I don't know, maybe 7 years or so we've been sort of dreaming about this and imagining that it would happen. And we were all set to break ground as the pandemic kicked in. We actually were planning to break ground just that spring and summer.
Oh no.
And then when everything shut down, we pressed the pause button. We had to sort of take stock of where we were, figure out what was happening with the world. Of course, it was a very scary time for live theater. And then it took us a number of months to figure out that actually this was an opportunity for us to, in a way, get the work done on the inside of the building more quickly. One of the tricks, in the original planning landscape of the thing was that we were also going to be performing in the building while we were renovating it. So it was staged in a kind of complicated series of, you'll be in this theater while you're renovating that theater, and then we'll occupy that theater while you renovate this theater. But given that we weren't performing in there or producing the theater in there for a long period of time, we could just accelerate the actual construction timeline.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a blessing in disguise, rather than having to try to get all the construction done with patrons and going in and out, artists going in and out. It was sort of just cleared it all out and gave you the time and space to do it faster. So that worked
out. Exactly.
Cool. Well, then me just putting on my journalism hat here, so I, dot all the I's and cross the T's. Where does the $20 million come from? Is there like some sort of foundation or trustees or, where do you raise the money from?
Yeah. I mean, it comes from a whole variety of sources and there is, the city has supported it. And a whole series of individual donors have supported it, and some foundations have supported it. One of the things we get to do, after we light up the signs, is recognize all of the people on the inside of the building who have supported it along the way, because there's also a whole series of interior signage. And so we've been working some on, the donor wall to recognize everybody who's made the project possible. And it's a lot of names. The most significant source of support is the city, but that's maybe, less than 20% of the overall budget.
Gotcha. So it's mostly like private donors and stuff.
That's right.
Okay, cool. That's the case with a lot of theaters. In addition to all the cool signage and all the renovations you've mentioned, and forgive me if you mentioned this and I missed it, but isn't there also going to be like an espresso bar in there?
There is, yeah. Like many theaters, for years we've just had a kind of concessions operation that serves wine and nibbles and coffee. And as part of the effort to keep the building open more, invite people in, let it serve as a community space, upgrade what we can offer patrons who come in terms of the, coffee and beverages and food that we offer, we decided to partner actually with an external vendor. So there's a group called Reiko Coffee Roasters who have been roasting coffee now for a few years in DC, and they're starting to make some retail locations happen. They've got one in Arlington. This will be the second one. And they're going to open a space actually in the new Amazon headquarters when that opens up as well. So they'll open in the morning. They'll sort of transition over the course of the day from a little bit more coffee focused to a little bit more drinks focused as the day goes on. But absolutely, very good coffee, espresso beverages of all sorts, nibbles, and then, you know, wine and beer and cocktails.
Very cool. Well, we've talked about a lot of the accoutrements and the building and stuff, but let's talk a little about the art, the actual theater part of it. I know, what are you, I guess you're just wrapping White Noise and Flight is still going on until March 6th. Why don't you tell them what Flight's about?
Yeah, that's right. Flight's incredible. Flight is it's an installation-based piece of theater that was created pre-pandemic, but feels outrageously pandemic appropriate. It's not, and by that I mean, it's not like a whole audience shows up at an appointed hour and sits in a room together and watches a play. It's something that's experienced in an individual booth. There's a series of chairs and essentially booths arranged in a circle around this rotating object. And that rotating object has little dioramas on it. So what you do is you sit down and you put on some headphones and you listen to an audio play as a series of dioramas, little set models, pass in front of you on this sort of slowly rotating carousel. And they light up in total synchronization to what it is you're hearing in your ears. So it's so like a three-dimensional graphic novel, essentially. And it's experienced, you know, sort of one-on-one in an individual private booth. And it's one of those things that it just kind of blows your mind and makes you think, oh yeah, theater doesn't necessarily need to be what we think of when we imagine a play. So it's quite novel in its form. And it also felt to us like a great way to welcome audiences back and not say, well, the very first thing we're going to do is a play where we pack 200 people into one of our theaters. It was a little a first step back after almost 2 years, actually, when we hadn't been doing in-person programming.
Cool. Well, do you want to tease anything else you have coming up this season? I know you got, what is it, John Proctor is the villain. You got the Hot Wing King. What else?
Yeah, it's...
Tease them really quick.
Sure, it's two great plays. In April, late April, we're opening a brand new play that hasn't been produced before called John Proctor as the Villain by a playwright named Kimberly Bellflower, who's about to explode under the American theater scene, as far as I'm concerned. And it's set in a school in rural Georgia where a series of students, like a group of students have started a feminism club in their little one-stoplight town, you know, high school. And you know, stuff starts to go down, and it's ultimately a play about sort of re-examining canons and things we imagine to be classics. And it also is a bit of a Me Too era play, in ways that surprise me as the thing evolves. So that's coming up in April. That'll run through April, May, and June. And then in late June, we've got a play called The Hot Wing King, which is by Katori Hall, and it actually just won the Pulitzer Prize for drama not too long ago. It's a comedy focused on a group of Black men in the South, one of whom is competing to try to take the crown as the Hot Wing King in the local wing cooking contest. It's a comedy. It focuses on, you know, the love and the joy among these men. And of course, there's some competitions along the way. And that will actually be the very first play we do in our new space in the renovated, we call it the Char Guy Theater. So it'll be the first chance people have to come and experience that new space and show in it.
Okay. So thanks. for making that clarification. So Flight and John Proctor's the villain they'll be going on, you know, during, you know, after this grand opening and a lot of the renovations, but they won't be in the new theater space. The first one in the new theater space will be Hot Wing King.
You got it. That's right.
Okay, great. Well, sounds like three great shows, and you know, maybe, you know, you'll add to your, what is it, 78 Helen Hayes Awards that you've had over the years.
Yeah, I don't know the number, but
hard to keep track since the 1978, I guess. but awesome, cool. Yeah, I mean, we can definitely follow up and maybe, you know, do some, you know, other individual standalone pieces on those other shows as they arrive. But I just wanted to catch up with you here to talk about this great reopening and get it on the radio in time for the big lighting up of the sign.
Great.
I guess before we run, yeah, just speak directly to our listeners. Be like, hey guys, come on out. The lighting is at 6 o'clock or whatever. Like, speak directly to them and get them to come out and celebrate with you.
Washington, D.C., I hope you come out tonight at 6 o'clock to 14th and P Street down in Northwest, when the Studio Theater will light up our brand new signs. It's the first step in a series of steps we have to re-inaugurate and reopen our new building, which has been closed for a couple of years because of a pandemic, and also because we've been renovating the entire interior and exterior.
Great. That gives me a couple options depending when I run this thing. So, hey, David, thanks so much for making the time for us. We really appreciate it, and encourage everyone to head out to the new and improved Studio Theater.
Thanks so
much. Yep. Talk to you soon.
Bye.